Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Canto 5, Chapter 18. The chapter is entitled The Residents of Jambudweep Offer Prayers. This is text number 22. Ma praptaye jesu sura sura dayas tapya ugram tapa andrihe diyaha vritte bhava paravran pranayanam namam vedanti aham tvam dridha daya yataha jita O Supreme Unconditioned Lord, when they become absorbed in thoughts of material enjoyment, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, as well as the other gods and demons, undergo severe penances and austerities to receive my benedictions. But I do not favor anyone, however great he may be, unless he is always in the service of your lotus feet. Because I always keep you within my heart, I cannot favor anyone but a devotee. Purport. In this verse, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, clearly states that she does not bestow her favor on any materialistic person. Although sometimes a materialist becomes very opulent in the eyes of another materialist, such opulence is bestowed upon him by the goddess Durga Devi, a material expansion of the goddess of fortune, not Lakshmi Devi herself. Those who desire material worship Durga Devi with the following mantra: Dhanam Dehi Rupam Dehi Rupam Pati Bhajam Dehi. O worshipful Mother Durga Devi, please give me wealth, strength, fame, a good wife, and so on. By pleasing Goddess Durga, one can obtain such benefits, but since they are all temporary, they are only in Maya Sukha, illusionary happiness. By Palad Maharaj, Maya Sukhaya Badamatyato Vimudhan. Those who work very hard for material benefits are Vimudhas, foolish rascals, because such happiness will not endure. On the other hand, devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj achieve extraordinary material opulences, but such opulences were not Maya Sukh. When a devotee acquires unparalleled resources, they are the direct gifts of the goddess of fortune who resides in the heart of Narayan. The material opulences one obtains by offering prayers to the goddess Durga are temporary, as described in Bhagavad Gita 7.23. Antavattu phalam tesham tabhakti alpya medasam. Men of meager intelligence desire temporary happiness. We have actually seen that one of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to enjoy the property of his spiritual master. And the spiritual master, being merciful towards him, gave him the temporary property, but not the power to preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. That special mercy of the power to preach is given to a devotee who does not want anything material from his master, but wants only to serve him. The demon Ravana illustrates this point. Although Ravana to abduct the goddess of fortune Sita Devi from the custody of Lord Ramachandra, he could not possibly do so. The Sita Devi he forcibly took with him was not the original Sita Devi, but an expansion of Maya or Durga Devi. As a result, instead of winning the favor of the real goddess of fortune, Ravana and his whole family were vanquished by the power of Durga Devi. Srishti Stiti Palai Sada Saktir Ek. End of purport. When they become in thoughts of material enjoyment, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, as well as other demigods and demons, undergo severe penances and austerities to receive my benedictions. So, there is two types of wealth here that's being described. One is real and one is illusionary, or that wealth that is of the material nature, which comes by way of the penances and austerities of the materialist who work very hard and even sacrifice tremendously in order to have some material situation, some wealth, some fame, some good position, strength, and opulence. These things are, and what we say, sought after in the material. This is what everyone seeks. This is material life. And one who has achieved it, one considers himself to be successful in life. But here we see what is the understanding that this wealth or these benedictions bestowed upon the person who works very hard by material means to achieve these things are all temporary and subject to so many, we say, inebrities or difficulties. And not real wealth in the sense that they're not bestowed upon by the Lord, but they come through the shadow energy, Lord's Shakti energy, and that is Durga Devi. The example here is very, very illustrative of what results of such wealth or such fame or such prestige. It vanquishes one in due course of time. We have the example here. It's a prominent example, but it's very powerful. And it's the epitome of all examples. And that is Ravana. He had, by his, what we say, abilities and penances, and by his, what we say, good fortune, we might say from a material sense, he had everything material. But he wanted more. And then in wanting more, he went into something that he should not have done. And that is, he tried to go after the goddess of fortune, Mother Sita De. But as it's explained here, materialists, they can't touch the goddess of fortune. They can't touch real, what we say, eternal wealth, eternal power, eternal strength, because that's under the internal energy of the Lord. And because they're under the external energy, they may see it, but they can't receive it. They may go after it. So Ravana did, and he was vanquished in due course. Not only was he vanquished, but he had everything, including his whole kingdom. So we see that people who work very hard or have a lot of... There's one story. I heard this story quite a long time ago, but it's very illustrative of how one's destiny under the influence of the material energy pushes one to act that causes one to be victimized by destiny. There was one rich, very rich man, and it's a couple of stories. And he was here in India, and he used money to get anything he wanted, because when you have money, you can do things. You can, you don't have to wait in line. You don't have to go through the ordinary chain of events that most people have to in order to acquire things. And so he used his money, he used his prestige, he used his influence to do things. One time he wanted to take a flight. It was a last flight that he decided to take, and it was already full. So using his money, he managed to get someone bumped off the plane. He paid extra and used his influence, and he got a seat on the plane. And he had been doing this throughout his life, using his money to push himself ahead of everyone else. But what happened was that the plane crashed and he died. So he was pushed by his desires, or what we say, under the influence of the material energy, which to be victimized by his own situation. There's another story. There was one man, him and his wife, they went to, this was in America, they went to a racetrack to bet on a horse. And this is a very popular thing in the West, especially in big cities, that they have horsing. And it's a big source of income, revenue, And they make, sometimes it's stirred by the local governments, and sometimes it's a private entity, but they make money on gambling. So this man and his wife, and they were quite elderly, to the horse race, and they decided to play the horses. So they were checking the names of the horses, and one of the horses' name was the name of one of their family members, because they have all these different names. But that horse was the most unlikely to win. They call it the long shot, the horse that will. Therefore, whatever money put on the long shot, it has tremendous amount of multiplication. If you put, you know, a large amount. So they decided, because it was a family member and they were somewhat sentimental, so they put $100 on the long shot. The long shots hardly ever win. They never win. But guess what? The horse won. So they won tremendous amounts of money. Therefore, the man was so happy when they announced the winner of the horse that he became so excited that he had a back and dropped it. And then, of course, you get a ticket stub, so the stub went flying from his hand on the racetrack. And his wife is standing next to him. She doesn't know whether to pick up her husband or the stub. Because, you know, it's a lot of money. Your husband's gone, so, you know, what can you do? So, unfortunately, this is material energy works. The persons who, although they have so much material opulences by calculation of material standards, it could any time be a source of one's undoing. Because it's all temporary and it's subject to laws of the material energy. And Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi, says that actually anyone approaches me for these things, if they're not your devotee, then really I don't give them a favor. Because I only favor your devotee because that is your desire, that I give your benediction to your devotees. You're favored by the shadow reflection or Lakshmi or Durga Devi, and therefore Durga Devi represents, when we say, death to those who chase after material things for sense gratification. So here, what is it? What's being said? That a real opulence, real wealth, success, is to actually engage in devotion. And sometimes we see that persons who engage in devotion service, they have nothing, and sometimes they have everything. You see, we have two types of devotees. We have devotees very, very wealthy, and devotees who have, say, very little by material standards. But either way, that is not the test of one's devotional service. One's devotional service is gauged by one's surrender to the Supreme Personality of devotional service. But those opulences given to fortune by the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord's favor. The Lord gives great favor upon his devotees, and he gives them wealth. He gives them power. He gives them position. He gives them facility. Because why? He knows that their real desire is not these things. Real desire is the lotus feet of the Lord. That is their real wealth. But he gives them these things so they can use his devotional service. Now we see the land of Bharatvarsha, India. They're very much enthusiastic to chase after very great wealth. I noticed being in India for the last 10 years, coming regularly, the cars, yes, I was noticing, all the cars are nice now. Once in a while you see a taxi. But still, the cars are all nice. Years ago, everything wasn't like that. It was hardly any nice cars on the road. Everybody has all nice cars. So everyone is getting results of their working hard for material benefits. And they're chasing after the toys of the West. But they're thinking that we don't really... I was seeing a board last night. I forgot what it is. You have to embrace life now. Come out of your illusion or something like that, and now break out. You know, you've been in darkness for so many. So now you just have to dance like a dog, right? Yes. Because it reminded me of Prabhupada's statement, now they're all dog dance, Prabhupada said. And I was thinking that what Prabhupada said was he wanted to change by combining, he used the example of the lame man. The blind man being India and the lame, the blind man being a West and the lame man being India. And he wanted to combine the Western, what we say, us with spirituality that comes from the East, the foundation of all spirituality. He wanted to combine together and ultimately bring about Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, everyone sees it's either one or the other. You got to have one or the other. Either if you're, if you're a spiritually minded person, you have to be poverty stricken, or you're more or less, you can't really make it materially. But if we see, we have our example of Nachi person. He's a very fixed up, surrendered devotee of the Lord. He attends the classes. He comes on the yatras. He's a very enthusiastic. Yet, he's, by materials, he's considered to be very, very prestigious and very wealthy. But so people should learn from such examples, can be there. But what has to be first is just, that has to be first. Otherwise, whatever material things one has is meant for one's defeat. It ultimately, if it is not used in the service of the Lord, or it's not seen by the devotional service of the Lord. So Lakshmi Devi, she's giving the example that real opulences are coming from me because I'm bestowing them upon your devotee. And Lakshmi, she can also remove also. Sometimes we hear the example of the story, how when Brigamuni, he came to test the three great controllers. First Lord Brahma, and then Lord Shiva. And then he went to the ocean and attacked by kicking in the chest Lord Vishnu. When Vishnu was kicked in the chest, we heard that story in Tirupati. Maharaj described great detail with great devotion how Lakshmi left because she was really somewhat offended or insulted that her Lord had been kicked. But there's another part of that pastime that she also cursed the Brahmins to become poor because of that. But Prabhupada, somehow, I don't know how that curse works, because we have a lot of wealthy Brahmins. Because Prabhupada used to say, the idea is that the Grihastha is supposed to be the foundation for financial support within the Grihasthas are supposed to more or less maintain the rest. But Prabhupada, he said, if you need any money, go to the sannyasis. Yeah, he said that, actually. Anyway, sometimes theories, don't always work. But it is there. Sometimes people ask me, well, how do you manage, Maharaj? How do you live? You don't work, You don't do anything. People were, the other day someone was asking me. I said, I just serve the Lord and the Lord provides whatever I need. There's no need to worry about anything. Prabhupada he would say in different times, in different lectures, he was in the residence of Bombay around the Juhu when the Juhu was being built. And people were saying, uh-oh, what are these people that are coming in? They're going to push us out. And Prabhupada said, don't worry about it. You just come and join us. That's all. He said, we have four cars. You can join us and you can also have four cars. You can have one. But he says they won't give up their BDs, won't give up their sense gratification. But if they want material opulence also, Krishna provides whatever you need in order to keep your devotional service nice. Krishna provides. So there's never any loss in that area. And I see people, they work so hard to have a house. They say, we work so hard to have what we need. But, we just promise or sannyasi, we can go to any city and find a house. Just They put anybody, right? It's a house. Prasadam is always provided. There's a place to stay. You know, something else. Krishna somehow or other, through his agency, makes things available. And this is the Supreme Lord. He takes care of his devotees. Sometimes people criticize, well, you people don't do anything. You're just, you're parasites. You live off the society. No, actually, we're providing the greatest amount of service because we're Brahma Jigyasa. We're giving spiritual knowledge, giving the direction for the society. And therefore, Krishna is providing whatever we need. We are not living off anybody. We're living off our Father, who's very rich. He not only is he very rich, he owns everything. In fact, you have nothing. It's all his. Whatever, you stole it. But claim it as yours. So this is material. And they see devotees from the external vision. They see that sometimes we don't really are not producing anything, not contributing to the society. But actually, Prabhupada said it's the greatest contribution, and at the same time, the Lord is taking care of his devotees through his different agencies. So never any loss. Sometimes I see devotees become an anxiety, just like in the West. Sometimes not so much here, because everything is organized nicely here. But sometimes brahmacharis, when they join the temple, for a couple years, they're thinking, uh-oh, what do when I get old? And if I get sick, or if I need something material, and then I don't have any money because they have to join the temple and surrender everything, right? This is a very common occurrence in many Western temples because somehow or other they organize perfectly. And therefore, sometimes brahmacharis and others, they also go out and get jobs in order to facilitate some savings. And therefore, when they feel like when they get old, then they'll have something to fall back on. But this is lack of faith, and it's lack of knowledge, lack of faith in the ultimate hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always takes care of his devotees. So, the mercy of the Lord. So, ultimately, the real is devotional service. That is the real wealth. What was... Yeah, the discussion between Ramananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is the realist? What is the real wealth, Lord Chaitanya? What did Ramananda Roy say? What is the real wealth? It's devotional service, to engage in service. Because even if someone teaching in devotional service wants something material. This is explained in the previous verse. Even if one has material desire, engages in devotional service with the desire to fulfill these material desires, devotional service, if Krishna is pleased, he makes that. He many times does that facility. If he sees that this facility and this opulence or this desire brings one closer in his devotional service. Like that. The Lord will do that. He'll give material things what he wants, but not if it's going to decrease one's devotional service. But a devotee doesn't want that. Because that's when one doesn't have the higher taste, then one looks for the taste in something material. Thinks that if I have these things, then I can be happy, then I can serve nice. One may want facility for service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one can make a little effort in that direction to find some mitzvah in order to engage in devotional service. But if one main thing in order to facilitate with devotional service begin activities that would produce about a material arrangement, that is called prayasa. That's over-endeavor in devotional service. To a fall down, ultimately. Fall down. It's like sometimes... we undergo big projects. The temples take on real big projects without the manpower, the facility, and then they expend all their energy in that area to fulfill these big projects. And what happens to preaching? the devotees from the sadhana becomes impaired. Unfortunately, I won't mention the situation. I just came. Devotees are building two temples at once, and they only have a few devotees, and they're building two temples. And I was saying, this is too much. Why are you spending so much energy in building two temples when you only have devotees and everyone is out collecting instead of and associating and reading the books and studying? After a while, the devotees become weak. So taking on big projects in order to facilitate and preach is also will lead to fall down in devotional service. So therefore, we preach, and by facility comes. Money comes, devotees come, and so many things come through the preaching. And then projects can gain development organically. I always appreciate very much His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's vision in that regard. He expands according to how everything develops and not wait. A lot of times we see people take on huge projects, and what happens? We lose so many devotees in this course of projects. Maharaj is expert at developing what we say devotees, and gradually through cultivation, the devotees, through training devotees, and he comes, manpower comes, and projects naturally develop. And that is expert understanding of how to execute devotional service in a proper way. Cool, because we were chained in the early days to go for big projects, but after a while, manpower fart. And that's the most important things, because of the real wealth. Devotees of the real wealth. Okay, so this is a very important point here made, that material things are the energy of the Lord, and they're under the Lord, and they're under the control of the Lord's internal energy, and if one wants them separate from the Lord, then they're under the control of the Lord's external energy, for they result simply in suffering and misery. I remember there's one example, a person works so hard simply to bring about their own defeat. It's sad, you know, they're actually working very hard simply to bring about their own defeat. That's all it is. It's like a man who wants to be up strong, and he works out and he does so many exercises, he gets great muscles, and then what does he do? He puts himself in the face. By his own efforts, he causes his own down. This is material life. So one should be just, if you have material desires, that's okay. Engage in devotional service. If Krishna fulfills them, that's not. If he doesn't, then you get something better. You get the higher taste. You get the higher taste. Visayam vinivartante nihraso varjam raso pyasya param drishtratante. That's the higher taste. One gets the higher taste, the lower taste. Everyone is looking for taste, but real taste is the happiness that one achieves by engaging in devotional service to the Lord. Eternal, and is always expanding. It's not temporary, and it's not fraught by waves of time. Time cannot take anything of devotee. Just like we were hearing the beautiful, beautiful expression of the heart of Stoka Krishna. Being the most, I mean, when we think about it, if we were to think, if I was a physician, we would feel like we would be unfortunate. But actually, here's who understands through realization and through the mercy of the spiritual master and the Lord that he's very fortunate to be in that situation. To come to that realization is actually full Krishna consciousness, to come to that understanding. Everything is being taken away, including one's body. At the same time, one is feeling great, not great, but eternal gratitude, as Stoka Krishna Prabhu said himself, really happy and grateful. Why? Because experiencing the relationship, the soul and the Supreme Lord. Just, even in the most difficult material, physical situation, if one is and can feel the presence of the Lord through devotion, then that is real happiness and real success. So who's fortunate? Who is actually fortunate? Right? The person who has everything really but doesn't have Krishna consciousness, or a person who has nothing, not even have his body in good shape, but has devotional service to the Lord. That is real fortune. Well, I was just thinking, yes, I was not thinking, I was experiencing. We had this wonderful ceremony. Devotees, six illustrious brahmacharis, received the saffron cloth. After, we had a kirtan. And watching the kirtan. And I was thinking, yeah, there's some reason to dance and chant. Why? Because we're getting out of here. We're going back home, back to Godhead. This is the real happiness. We're happy because we're dancing and going back to Godhead. We're getting out of this place. Walk around. The more toys you have in this material world, the more makers that keep you locked into this material energy. It says that if a man has a crown on his head, in Srimad Bhagavatam says, and if he's drowning, then the crown pushes him down. So the materialists, they have so much, and they maintain the one, but they're drowning even faster in the whirlpools of material energy. And devotees have very little. And of course, as I said before, even if you have a lot, it doesn't matter, as long as your lot is not something to dwell on as the source of happiness. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Be the Lord. The Christians say that, right? Of course, they don't all believe it, but they say that. Lord, give it. Lord, take it. Blessed be the Lord. So it doesn't matter. Going back to the spiritual world, that is our real home, not this material world of birth and death. All these things that are in this material world are simply actions from the real path of devotion. So, even if we're engaged in life and have occupation and so many other things, we should not get attracted by these things. We should not make these the focus of our happiness. Because if we do, forget about Krishna. And when you forget about Krishna, what is the say? What is the greatest anomaly? What is the greatest misfortune? What is the greatest mistake? Is to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead for one moment. This is from the Vishnu Puran. So to forget the Lord is ultimately that is liberty. That's real poverty. To forget the Lord. That is the source of real poverty, because you don't really have anything. So the idea is always somehow or other, even as if we have so many material things, or if we're engaged in that which require maintenance of our families and our life in general. These things are all and someday we will lose them. Yeah. All these things will be gone. And ultimately, left hopefully is our Krishna conscious. And actually what happens is the more Krishna takes things away for a devotee, the more you become Krishna conscious. Because you have to hold on to something, right? And if you're not holding on to something else, and when you let go of these other things, grab for the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? We see our wonderful devotees still. In material things being taken away, but he's hanging on to the lotus. Therefore, he's happy. He's satisfied. Same thing with Bhakti Tirtha Swami. I saw that. You all heard the lecture by Radhanath Maharaj. He spoke 5 hours, 5 and a half, on the glories of Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He always told me, any time when he would tell me, he said, I like opulence. I like opulence. Some devotees are very simple, but I like opulence. And he always had, of course he never surrounded himself with a lot, but he always liked nice things. He never went out of his way to get these things. He was all at heart. And very simple in his activities, but he appreciated nice things. And if it come, he would appreciate these things. But everything was taken away, and still, he was saying it was the most. What was Maharaj saying the other day? Quoting Bhakti Maharaj, when he was experiencing such love, in association with the Lord in his most difficult situation, he was saying, amazing, amazing, simply amazing. Could you imagine someone who has that situation just glorifying that situation best? We can't experience what they're experiencing, but we know what they're expressing is the ultimate happiness. So this is Krishna consciousness. One should just go on with their devotional service and ultimately pure devotional service. That is what Srila Prabhupada has given us. He's giving us pure devotional service. Narma Mishra Gyan or Karma Bhakti, all these Gyanam Mishra, all these things. He's giving us pure devotion, unalloyed service to the Lord without any personal desire. And what is by that devotional service are simply gifts of the Lord to be used in the service of the Lord. And they're not the source of one's happiness. They can be used as the service of bring happiness to others. They can bring happiness. They can be used to preach. They can be used to facilitate the expansion of devotional projects in different ways. But they're on a personal level, that position, not for our own gratification. Okay, so this series of verses goes on and on. Lakshmi, she's glorifying the Lord in different ways, and her service to the Lord, and how she gives out her mercy to others. Here also we see, in the Srila Prabhupada mentions, in small detail, nothing very, doesn't mention any names, but Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, one person wanted the property, and he received it, but he didn't get the power to preach. The real mercy of his spiritual master. The real mercy was the power to preach Krishna consciousness. And he simply got the material properties, which are also so many difficulties. So many difficulties. Okay, any questions? Comment? Anyone? No questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.